welcome back to another episode of Cathode Ray Mission. I am Randy Heyer, coming to you from Oklahoma City, and joining me, as always, live via satellite from Berkeley, California, we have Will Scoville. How's it going, Will?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing well. I took a risk. I did something that is not really characteristic of me on this pod, and I picked a movie based on title alone. And so here we are. We're about to review Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Did you know about this movie before now?
This is a movie I'd been seeing kind of like around. It would like always pop up when I was looking for trash to watch. And
yeah,
I'm sure I almost clicked play on it like more than once. But this is the first time I've seen any of it. So thank you, Randy. Thank you for finally making me watch this.
Well, it's a name that, like, I guess I'm thinking that this must have been in the Golden Turkey books. Do you know about those? Like the Medved brothers?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that they must have a feature on Voyage of the Rock Aliens in there because, like, it was just in my head, but here's what led me down the path of where we are today, talking about Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which is streaming free on Prime, if you have it.
I watched it on Tubi because I am no longer a Prime member.
Yeah. Is it? So it's on Tubi too, then? Fair enough. Yeah. It's a movie that is truly should be free. If it's not worth, they should pay you to watch it almost. It's like, in a way, but okay. Here's how I basically found it, because I was listening to a podcast that was talking about the movie The Program.
Oh my God, that's a movie I was wanting to pick for a future episode.
Are you really?
We'll be watching that soon, yep.
Yeah, we could. I'm into it. But in the podcast, they're talking about Craig Sheffer, who's the star of The Program, and Voyage of the Rock Aliens. He's one of the stars. Okay. He's Frankie. And they're talking about how, like, I guess, and I didn't do any research to back up what they were saying in this podcast, but they were saying when he was making The Program, he had to leave to go read for Oscar Schindler for Schindler's List. Like, Craig Sheffer had just been in A River Runs Through It. And so it's just like, he has a weird career. I knew him mainly from being in Nightbreed.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen, you've seen Nightbreed?
No, I'm very aware of that movie, though.
It's Nightbreed is Clive Barker's follow-up to Hellraiser, and it's like, notoriously, it was kind of a weird failure, but is a cool movie, and it actually has David Cronenberg, and it's not a cameo, he's like a major character in the movie, and so,
Okay.
I don't know, there's... Nightbreed has a lot going for it. And Craig Sheffer, that's where I knew him from. But so I was reading about him and I saw this was his first movie. And the title of this just stuck in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. And another thing just before I get off, we get into the movie about Craig Sheffer is apparently, I guess he's later said that he kind of like fumbled his career by just being kind of a dick, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you look at his career, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty hot in the 80s and 90s. And then I'm reading about him today. He turned down being in Torch Song Trilogy on Broadway to do this movie, Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Wow.
And then later, he was in it, though. So he's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, in like one of the main runs of it, the second run, I guess he plays David in Torch Song Trilogy, which is crazy. Like, that's a huge, very important play by Harvey Fierstein. And I don't know. That blew me away. I was like, wow, I guess Craig Sheffer is like a good actor, you know? Like, he has actual like big stage cred and stuff.
Well, it's like Pia Zadora is also in this. Oh, go ahead. You had a...
And I didn't... I have no reference point for Pia Zadora, and so I'm doing reference on her. I'm reading about her and learning about her, and she seems like a pretty wild character too. Mm-hmm. Will, what do you know about Pia Zadora?
Not a whole lot. The only thing, I've heard her come up from time to time, and like people kind of laugh about her. And so, but I really have no reference of like who she is. It's just that she was supposed to be a big breakout star coming from Broadway, I guess, where she was pretty well respected. And then went back after her movie career kind of fizzled out and people were like, oh yeah, she is actually quite good. It's just movie career didn't pan out. But she was in a Mystery Science Theater classic, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
She oh, yeah.
Martian Children. So.
Yes. And which is another Medved talked about movie in those turkey books. Those guys are mean, you know? Those guys, books.
Are they conservative? Huh? Are they like...
Yeah. And they're conservative and they're... they're like, they're homophobic for sure, but they're like, there are lots of things. They're maybe even racist. Like, I don't know. They definitely don't, they don't understand, like, I feel like they don't understand movies really, you know? I don't know. I liked those movies a lot when I was younger, or those books a lot. I'm talking about right now the Golden Turkey books, the Medved brothers. And they made another book called 50 Worst Films of All Time. That was their first book. They're kind of these big floppy coffee table kind of kids movie books. But I know Pia Zadora, that's a name that I know from those books because Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, of course. And then I know they have to talk about this. And I think they talk about another movie. Her big breakout movie was this movie called Butterfly, which is directed by Matt Simber, who Marc Maron in the Glow series is based on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in my research, I was reading that, I guess, Pia Zadora married this guy, Selkis or something like that, who is a huge, connected, extremely wealthy man. He's like 30 years her senior. And I guess the rumor is that he basically bought her this Best New Star Award at the Golden Globes for this movie, Butterfly, because then the Razzies, is like another like mean institution, yeah, like the Golden Turkey Awards, that like, only for kids and mean people is this like a valuable thing at all. They said she was the worst star of the year or whatever. I don't know. I don't have a huge history of Pia Zadora. Craig Sheffer is kind of who I'm coming into this with. The director, I found out, directed The Enforcer, which is an okay Dirty Harry movie. He also directed the second Ape movie. What?
There's also the cinematographer on this also shot Star Wars. So there is a little bit of lineage here.
But this movie, I didn't know anything about it. And I felt very bad and I felt very sorry. About 10 minutes in, I was like, oh no. But it sort of leveled out and became a movie after a while, but it wasn't good. I didn't know that this would be a full-on musical. Like Voyage of the Rock Aliens, it's like a full song for every 3 minutes of talking, probably.
Yep. Like big production number. I mean, big in quotes production numbers. Like, I'm trying to avoid talking about some other movies because they're going to come up in recommendations based on this, but
We have to. Are you going to talk about Crybaby or something? Like, that's a movie.
No, I'm not going to talk about Crybaby. I'm talking about, like, The Apple and Xanadu and Grease 2 and around the same time, like, these a string of, like, weird-ass musicals were coming out, and they were kind of cheap, and they weren't great.
This was remarkable to me because it was like new wave, basically. Mm-hmm. It was like, it had sort of like almost a punk edge to it, but it was very like, it's like they got these two bands, like they got a fake Devo band called like Rima or something like that from Arizona. And I was reading, here's another piece of trivia. After a screen test, the filmmakers asked the bass player to not be in the movie. It's like, wow, that's
Rima.
Yeah, it's like the band should have insisted that. It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, why? I can only imagine what could have been wrong with this man that he couldn't have been in this horrible movie.
Seriously.
But they're the rock aliens, and then they're led. The main guy who leads each faction is like an actual actor, but the crew is a band. So the rock aliens are this fake Devo band called Rima from Arizona or something. They're not even on Spotify. And then Craig Sheffer leads a crew that is a band called Jimmy and the Wranglers. Was that what that band was called?
Is that the name of them in the movie, or is that the name of the
band? No, they're a real band because they're on Spotify.
Okay.
And they're just like a fake Stray Cats, man. I laughed so hard when they started, I just didn't know what this movie was going to be. I know. I hope this isn't like just torturous for the listener to hear me kind of dance around what this is, but I don't really know. I don't know how to describe this movie.
You have the fake Stray Cats and the fake Devo band, and it's like, it's weird because it's supposed to be kind of a beachy movie, but it takes place on Lake Erie, which is like all polluted and shit. And it's got this weird kind of like sarcastic thing to it. But yeah, like the rock aliens come down, and it's like they're all kind of like fighting for musical supremacy of this small town. And it's weird. It is really bizarre, and even more bizarre than it's supposed to be. But I want to mention, like, there are things you said, you know, when it first starts out, you're like, oh, wow, what do we get ourselves into? Because it's like weird and kind of bad. But what won me over, so first of all, there's a scene in that, like, that malt shop, all right, where you first hear the Stray Cats band singing.
Jimmy and the Wranglers is what the band is called. Yeah.
And so, like, everyone's dancing, and I was watching with my wife, and she said, this is weird, and it looks like a milk commercial. And I was like, oh, my God, yeah. And it was, like, the perfect description. But there's a whole scene that takes place in the women's bathroom, and it starts off with, like, these dancing feet. And they're all in the stall, and they all have their panties around their ankles. And I'm like, that is something I've never seen, and I kind of like it. I kind of think that's clever. And so after that, it won me over enough, like, to kind of, I'm like, all right, I will roll with this and see what else it has to offer. And it was like, all right, okay, I can accept this, you know, to some degree. And it's not completely worthless. It's got something to it, you know. But it's like recommending this to somebody. It's like, oh my God, like, you got to be very aware of that person's tastes. You have to like do a big like preface of like, okay, you just got to take it for what it is and just let it take you where it needs to take you, and just don't try too hard.
It's like, this is the campiest thing ever. I mean, that would be fair to say, right? But it's also, it's like, it's not smart though. It's not like John Waters, where it's like, he's doing this with like some sort of like purpose necessarily. It's like, this is just a bunch of shit happening, you know?
It's like John Waters, but without any sort of like biting satire. It's just kind of, it exists. It's not even like a Top Secret, like where it's a total slapstick satire. It's not, it's just kind of is. Tells its own story that is completely derivative, but
yeah,
but it's still, it's its own thing in a lot of ways, but I don't know who it's for. It's just kind of, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The director, I guess I'm paraphrasing now, but he was like saying he wanted it to be like as if you're flipping through channels. So it's like space movie, beach party movie, greaser movie, horror movie.
Okay.
But it doesn't I guess it, there were some jokes in this that like, I mean, it just wore me down because it's so, it goes so hard and aggressively with the music and everything, and it's just like, you just have to, and it feels long. It's not that long. It's longer than it should be, but it feels like an eternity for me. There's parts, okay, like Michael Berryman is in it from, we all know him from Weird Science, but also The Hills Have Eyes. And he's like, he's sort of supposed to be like a slasher killer, like from a slasher movie or something. Mm-hmm. And he's carrying around a chainsaw and he's chasing this woman down and he's got her cornered, but then the chainsaw breaks down and he cries, kind of like, it's very like making a joke about how it's a penis or whatever. He's impotent and stuff. But then she's just like, hold on, don't cry. And she produces like a thing of tools from her purse. And then they get down and they're like fixing his chainsaw. And then the movie goes away from that for a long time. But then when it eventually cuts back and they're still on the floor working on the chainsaw, I laughed. Like,
yeah.
So there's like a few things like that where like it just, it wore me down, I guess, to where it's like, okay, that was pretty funny, you know, like, but.
I mean, they did bring that back because like when they get it working again, it fits into like a plot point, kind of like an action point, I should say.
Yeah.
Of the story. So it's like, you know, they did it. And there's things in here like the phone booth teleportation device that is so similar to Bill and Ted. It was like, wow, that is.
And then they kind of look like the people that they meet in the future who are like party on, you know, with the glasses, the thin glasses and stuff. Yeah. This is before Bill and Ted, right?
Yep. So it predates Bill and Ted. It's a little bit different, but, you know, it's also the phone booth, you know, from Doctor Who. So whatever. And it's also beaming from Star Trek. So whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. Craig Sheffer, he like comically just beats the shit out of everybody that he meets, basically. And it's like, that was funny. And then there's a part where he has like 9 lockers, basically. It's like a garage door, and he has like this weird shrine to Pia Zadora in it. There were some moments that made me laugh like that, you know, that were reminiscent of Rock and Roll High School or Grease or Grease 2 or whatever, you know, movies that we like, that we've talked about on here before. And I loved, he had like perfect abs, like enviable. I was like, whoa, this guy's in crazy shape, but he's wearing a leather jacket and no shirt for the entire movie. And that was very funny to me. And I thought Pia Zadora was good in this.
Yeah, she was fine. For what this movie was, it's like, I don't know.
The music, all the songs are really horrible, though.
Yeah, they are.
And then, we didn't even talk about the most baffling thing is the beginning, where there's a music video where she's in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's got nothing to do with the movie at all. And it's the song they sing at the end of the movie.
Yeah. So it's...
Go on.
It's got which Jackson is it?
Jermaine Jackson.
Jermaine Jackson.
Sort of dressed like Michael.
Yeah.
It's sort of a Mad Max thing going on in the video.
It's a little bit of a Mad Max and a little bit of Captain EO.
It sort of like actually reminds me of Cyborg, the Albert Pyun movie that we will someday cover on here.
So lots of guys on motorcycles with crazy like white. Like clothing, and then another faction of people, and they're running, and they're in love, and they're from different factions, and it's like trying to tell that story, and I'm like, okay, well, this will be interesting, and then they're like, well, we'll leave these two to kind of sort things out. Let's go to another planet, Earth, and Pia Zadora is also there, but it's a different Pia Zadora, and it's like, all right, well, and
I guess the whole situation is after the movie. Because that's the song they sing. It's the same song that she and Craig Sheffer sing at the end. Mm-hmm. And I guess they recorded that. And then it was decided, they made the video and it was just decided that the music video would be tacked onto the movie somehow.
Wow.
And they were going to put it at the end, but then it ended up being just at the beginning of the movie, which like honestly was the moment where I was like, oh no, this movie is horrible. And then the rock aliens are like woken up, and that was a funny scene, sort of. They're Barbie doll men. Yeah, and he puts them in this like pneumatic tube, and they come out as normal sized men.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and so he pulls him out of the fridge first. The robot pulls him out of the fridge first of all, and then puts him in. And then later on, after the main guy sees Pia Zadora for the first time, he like is like literally explodes into several pieces. And there's this whole scene where they have to reconstruct him, where they flatten him out and then like print him out on these pieces of paper and then like inflate him. And it's a, I don't know. I thought it was pretty, it was another one of those scenes where I was like, okay, all right. I will sit through this. I will accept this part of the movie because it's like so weird and just kind of like unexpected and silly and fun. And I'm like, I can't be mad right now at this weird fucking movie right now. So, yeah, but
no, I hear you. And it's just one of those movies like, okay, do you remember Psycho Beach Party?
Yeah.
It's a movie that kind of, it's like that, where it's like, it's such an oddity. I mean, I think Psycho Beach Party is better, but it's like, that is a weird movie that's like, only a select few are set to receive the message of this movie. And this is sort of like, where it's so, the camp is so high, but there's like, the content level is like low, I guess. Yeah. There's just something about it where it's like, it's very meaningless, but it is a lot. It's very extreme, and it's full dance number. I mean, every song has 20 people dancing in choreographed dance to the songs and stuff. And some of the shittiest new wave rockabilly revival music. It's not either. It's both. It's not at the same time. Not, but
well,
yeah.
It is at the same time in one scene.
So yes, that's true. I don't know. Voyage of the Rock Aliens is a movie that it's hard to like, I would never recommend it to anybody, but if the title is in, it just caught fire in my brain. I could not stop thinking about it. And then you were like, what movie should we do? You pick it. And I was like, I just can't stop. We have to do Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Like we just have to do it. I have to watch it. Get this out of my system.
So there's this, and there's another rock and roll space movie that's animated that I can't remember the name of, and we should watch that one too.
Heavy Metal?
It's not Heavy Metal. It is not the same time as Heavy Metal, but it is a one, it's like a full story. And it's more on par with like the Star Chaser movie that we watched.
It's about rock and stuff. Well, isn't Jim and the Holograms is sort of about rocking out in space and stuff.
Is it space though, or is it just kind of like...
Or are they in the future or something?
I think they're just like hip women in a band. I can't remember.
It has nothing to do, so they're in the future at all? And Jim and the Holograms?
There's a movie
that they made of that.
I know, we should watch that. That just kind of came and went. And
we should watch the Jim and the Holograms movie.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Did you see that Josie and the Pussycats movie that came out?
I never did, but people like that one.
I like that one. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time, but it was like, it was an overload of like, product placement, but it was kind of a point to have it. It was like that scene in Wayne's World, the product placement scene in Wayne's World.
Oh yeah.
And that gag, that's the whole movie.
Oh.
I mean, but it's like, you don't quite know that it's that, but it's just like, it's so overdone and in your face. And, they address it, you know, at the very end as well. So
we are kind of burying the lead. The main movie that this reminded me of is Earth Girls Are Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't stop thinking about Earth Girls Are Easy and this and just, like, this movie. Like, it wasn't made with no money, but comparatively less money to, like, there's that scene, the scene I'll never get out of my head in Earth Girls Are Easy where Jim Carrey gets, like, a piece of ice from, like, a long glass out with his, like, long tongue. And it's like this effect shot. And this girl's like, I'm taking you home tonight or something, you know, to him. That movie is crazy. I remember, I don't know, only kind of liking it. Did you like Earth Girls Are Easy?
It's all right.
Is that a big one for you?
But it's got like, you know, it's got Goldblum, it's got Jim Carrey, and it's got Damon Wayans in it. And so you got two In Living Color guys in it, pre-In Living Color and Julie Brown. And like, it's a really
Who's like the main character, the woman in it?
Gina Davis.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's stacked up. Mm-hmm. And then her fiance, who she's drawn away from by Goldblum, is Charles Rocket.
Is it really?
Yes. And at the end, they basically make him like fall in love with his dog or something with like a...
Oh, my God.
I hate shit like that.
Yeah, Charles Rocket and Jim Carrey would meet together again in Dumb and Dumber. And then Charles Rocket would...
Take his own life. He cut his throat, too.
Oh, my God.
Which is... That's serious.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, anyway... Voyage of the Rock Aliens doesn't have, it has Craig Sheffer and Pia Zadora. It's like another movie starring Mickey Rourke and Liza Minnelli will be opening tomorrow. Will it be as successful? Only time will tell.
Okay. I mean, you got anything else or should we take a break and then come back with a big roundup?
I got nothing else. I hate for it to be a short episode, but like, I mean, it's just it's Voyage of the Rock Aliens. A blood on the moon situation where we're going to have to just discard the episode. But like, I think we're ready to go into the roundup and the Rex, maybe the episode will get a little longer. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back with a big roundup.
Let's do it.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. We're talking Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Kind of a mistake I made. A few episodes back, I was talking about how we were going to start doing a serious movies on here. Put some tuxedos on, watch some foreign films. And I picked Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Will, on a 0 to 5 star rating scale, what would you give Voyage of the Rock Aliens?
I'm going to give this a 2.5 stars. It's not bad, but it's not good either. And it's like a very, it's an acquired taste that you can't get out of your mouth. It's going to stick with you for a while, and you're either going to like that to an extent, or you're just going to absolutely hate it. And so 2.5 is like your warning, is that it's not going to get much better, but it will be good enough to kind of sit through it. You know, it's not excruciating. It's got some charm to it, but it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
By any means. So yeah, 2.5 stars.
This is one of those movies that proves to you how much like shit there is that gets churned out that people just forget. I mean, The Dogs of 81 was definitely an excursion into that, but did you ever listen to that episode or that show, The Movies That Made Me, that Joe Dante's podcast? Mm-hmm. UA Roth's episode is really interesting. He picks just obscure 80s comedies. And that's like all he talks about is like movies that like you've never heard of. They probably talk about this. I haven't listened to it in a while.
There's one called Soup for One that I would always see at the video store, and the cover of it was like a guy in New York City rowing a bed across the river or whatever, the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And it's like a sex comedy from 1980. So like I've never seen it anywhere.
Probably, yeah. And like movies that like we're ripping off Animal House that you've like never heard of and stuff like, you know. And this is just like, this is just one of those movies where it's like, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like what it's laying down. I like 80s movies and stuff. Mm. It's not funny to me at all. But in some ways, it was admirable to me for them to try to get these two bands and just like, let's make a movie where you guys are like rivals. Sort of what they did with Purple Rain, you know, or Crush Groove has like some like made up rivalry for the movie. And I love stuff like that. I love that it captures Jimmy and the Roundup or whatever the fuck, the fake Stray Cats band. It's cool that the movie captures them forever. They're in the movie. And like, in terms of like, would you ever do something like this? Like I did do something like this. Like if somebody was making a low budget movie and they're like, do you want to be in it? I would say yes. I did say yes. I have been in a low budget movie. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
I had a great time. I loved it. I'm sure the boys in Rima and Jimmy and the Stray Cat ripoff band all had a great time making Voyage of the Rock Aliens, and that was apparent to me. And I was impressed. It's like wall-to-wall. There's like 15 songs in this.
Right.
Which
it's
is like
a full soundtrack.
And they're real songs. They're not like good, but they're not like horrible. It's not like a joke that they're like so bad or something like that. So I'm going to have to give Voyage of the Rock Aliens 3 out of 5 stars, which is high, but it's just because it's such a weird oddity, I feel like it earns its place to exist a lot more than some movies, you know?
I was waffling on giving it a 3 stars. I think I'm going to stick to my 2.5.
Yeah.
But 3 star was in consideration at one point for me on this one. But I did like the half a star is like for the extra effort it took. You know, it is not a 2 or even a 1.5 star movie. It's like
no
solid 2.5.
They really try, and it's not. Yeah, it's got something to it. So, and I like a campy movie too. I like a movie like this. So, Will, give me your recommendations on movies that maybe got it right.
I mentioned him earlier, you know, Xanadu,
I love Xanadu.
Xanadu is like definitely a little bit more of a budget on that one. Especially a special effects budget. And hey, if you're into it, it could be fun. And then Grease 2 is just, it exists. It is, you know, I very rarely do I see a sequel to a musical outside of like, I don't know, Mamma Mia, you know, which is kind of a weird jukebox musical and not an original musical. And so Grease 2 and Grease 2 has Michelle Pfeiffer in it, but that again is not a good movie. One that is
they
bad
got the roles reversed too, right? Because Max Caulfield's the Sandra Dee of that movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but the one that I end up like anytime I watch it, I'm like, man, oh God, this is fucking awful, but I like it. It's The Apple.
I've never watched The Apple.
It's a sci-fi movie. It is a very Queenie 80s movie. And it is done, you know, it's a canon release, I think. And mm-hmm. so it has got that charm to it as well. And it is just what it is, man. It's like, it's kind of, it's like a Eurovision type of thing. It starts off with like a Eurovision type of thing where it's like this competition of musical acts. And it's this couple, they're like Adam and Eve, and then they get offered, one of them gets offered the apple, and it's like an allegory of both the Book of Genesis and the music industry. And it's an, and it's also a sci-fi movie, and it's a musical. It's kind of,
it's
all
a canon movie.
Yeah. But it is of its time, and it is from the same era, and it is of the same kind of level as this. And I think it does it a little bit better. And the musical numbers are a little bit bigger and a little bit better as well. So the apple.
Okay. Yeah. I've never seen it. They talk about it extensively in Electric Boogaloo, the wild story of Canon Films or whatever the fuck. Like, that's like one of the early movies where they kind of announced themselves to America, I guess, with the apple.
Did you ever see The Last American Virgin?
No, that's another one that was big, but that's a movie that was like a remake of
another movie
that was huge, a runaway success in Israel. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see it and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You should see that one. That one is off the wall, man. It is.
Yeah. If I've seen it, it was like, years, like 20 years ago, you know, or something. Yeah. But like, I know a lot about, I know like has that movie has Lawrence Monasoon in it, who is in Friday the 13th Part 4. And yeah, anyway, I'm getting off topic. I want to get to my recommendations, and my recommendation will be, yeah, just everything we talked about. Like Crush Groove, I think, is like an awesome movie that incorporates music and real bands and stuff into a fictional premise. It doesn't get that far away from, it's almost is just straight up, it's sort of what I wanted Mortal Kombat the movie to be. Peek behind the curtain, we just recorded that episode, I don't know where it's coming in relation to this, but where it's just like, it is just without explanation, just people introduced and they perform a song and then they leave, and it's just like hits, just like boom 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 boom. And this movie was sort of that, except you don't know the bands and you don't really like the songs and stuff like that. Like if Devo would have been playing the Rock Aliens, you know, and they're actually, it was the Stray Cats, this movie, like, would have, we'd all know about this movie.
Yeah. You would, even if it was bad, you would be like, oh, that movie that the Stray Cats and Devo did together.
Yeah. That would have been awesome. But so, yeah, I would just say Crush Groove. I think Crybaby is another movie that does, it's like a funny musical about, that's the send up of like greaser culture and stuff like that. And, you know, Grease, I guess, is everybody loves Grease.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Anyway.
I don't remember. Was Crybaby made for television?
I don't think so.
Was it? Or was
maybe
it theatrical? For whatever reason, for years, I was like, I swore that
I
was
feel like
made for TNT.
Serial Mom feels like made for television to me.
That I remember coming out in the theater, though. But
maybe
for whatever reason, I remember it coming out.
I can't imagine. I feel like the budget is high on Crybaby, you know? But I don't know. You might be right. I feel like Crybaby is in his... That and Hairspray, where he's like trying to appeal more to mass audiences, and I think both those movies are PG or PG-13.
That's why I'm thinking it might be like a made for TV thing, and it's like, let me just Bolter was screened out of competition. Went to the theater. Okay, I'm wrong.
I would have been shocked if it would have been made for TV.
Weird. Okay, I thought it was a made-for-TV movie for years.
Well, check out Crybaby. Definitely a theatrical release. That's my recommendation. For Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which is also probably a theatrical release.
It probably
different times.
Went in the theater at some point. I've seen the Apple in the theater more than once.
I mean, if this came out in 85, You literally could have bought a ticket to see Back to the Future or this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the same price in the same theater.
Yep.
Beautiful. Different time.
Yep. That 80s meets the 50s vibe that is like present for a short period. There's a movie that I love, Remote Control, that is very much the same thing. It's a sci-fi horror-ish body snatchers movie set around a video store. But it's also kind of racist because all the evil aliens are Asian people.
Hello.
Yeah. So lately I've been like, oh, I love this movie, and I'm watching it again. I'm like, all the aliens are Asian people. And it's like kind of like the the incoming Japanese technology that's taking over American products. Maybe I got to stop recommending this so much.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Tilly's in it. Hey, you know.
Oh. I like, well, we don't need to be creeps here. I like Meg Tilly more. I mean, whatever. Anyway, let's wrap this one up. Voyage of the Rock Aliens. A short episode for us, but hey, guys, it's Voyage of the Rock Aliens. I don't know what else to say.
What are you
going to
do
about it?
What you here got going on, Randy?
Oh, not too much. We've got chat piles doing things. Working on a t-shirt right now that I'm particularly excited about. Maybe I'll mention to you off mic what the actual concept is. Maybe be
I don't have a chat pile t-shirt yet. I got to get on that.
Well,
so
they're just down the street from you. They're based in San Francisco. Our label is. So.
I haven't been to San Francisco in 2 years, man.
Yeah, but they're down the street from you compared to me.
True, yeah.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
All right. Will, what do you got?
I got this show, Cathode Ray Mission. Check it out. Rate and review us wherever you're listening to podcasts, or if you got some place to rate and review, do it. And just tell your friends about it. Let us know what you want to hear. You know, reach out to us wherever we may be on social media through various outlets. Yeah, just tell us what you think. Let us know that you're listening. And thank you to those who are. We really appreciate it. I got another podcast. It's Nerd Rage the Great Debates. It's fun, nerdy debate show. We had a fan someone who became a fan of the show early in the Trump era when we started, because he said he was looking for a debate podcast that didn't talk about politics. And that's us. And we aren't mean about it. We aren't really even correct most of the time. So don't worry about it being like strong opinions. It's just all about having fun and arguing with each other in a controlled space. And we're all friends afterwards. And then SEPDOC is documentary reviews. I also work on that. It's also pretty great. You know, talking to a lot of directors and stuff lately. So check those out.
Nice.
And that's all I got.
Well, Will, once again, we've successfully landed the ship, or we've gone out into space, I don't know, voyaging, rock alien style. They didn't really do any. They went to Earth. They voyaged to Earth and had a minor adventure there.
Yeah.
They cleaned up pollution. We didn't mention that at the end. They're like, let us clean up the pollution. It was, God, this movie was so stupid, but.
I do want to mention that some of that stuff, like Lake Erie, it did have some trauma vibes to it. Like the kind of the budget
very
and the
much.
Scale, like it feels
very
a little bit like a trauma movie.
Or so, Surf 2. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I never saw that one.
God. It's coming out on Vinegar Syndrome pretty soon.
Oh, is it?
Soon,
okay. Actually. I know exactly what kind of movie it is.
That is a nasty movie. Very, very gross. All right. Cool. Anyway, Will, let's voyage out now, rock alien style. Peace, peace and love. I'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All right.